Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
So I hope you saw my message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com. Again, you don't have to be a member of anything. You just go to the website every morning. There's a message. I tried to watch some cable news this week, and I couldn't get through it. And I'll tell you why in the message. But it's interesting what has happened to the television news industry. I'm not going to cover it tonight. We got a lot of stuff to tell you about. But if you want my take on the current state of TV news, it is on BillO'Reilly.com. Now, the talking points memo this evening, the United States of litigation. So we discussed yesterday Elon Musk threatening to sue the far-left hate group Media Matters. And he filed late in the day after we had finished taping. So here are the incidentals on this lawsuit. Media Matters put out an article and contacted all its left-wing allies and said that on X, Twitter, owned by Elon Musk, there was Nazi stuff placed next to advertising. Okay, that's what Media Matters alleged. Elon Musk says that's not true. And by saying that, you hurt my business because, and we listed some of the sponsors yesterday on this program, they bailed out. They said, we're not going to advertise on X anymore because it's Nazi stuff. Okay. So it's a pretty clear-cut lawsuit. So Musk is asking for unspecified damages and for Media Matters to remove the article. The suit was filed in Texas, the Northern District of Texas. At the same time, the Texas Attorney General has launched an investigation into Media Matters for, quote, potential fraudulent activity. So under Texas law, there is a Deceptive Trade Practices Act. So now Media Matters risks not only civil litigation, but criminal charges. I say good. I've been dealing with this outfit for 25 years. They are the lowest form of smear merchants, gutter snipes, whatever you want to call them. And I talked about it on News Nation last night. Go.
This is my question, though. It seems like there is among the left in America, and by that I mean the media, and certainly by left-leaning politicians. There's a, like, you know, we had Trump derangement syndrome, that we now sort of have a minor version of Musk derangement syndrome. And I can't quite figure out what that comes from.
Oh, come on, Leland, you know where it comes from. The previous owners of Twitter censored conservative speech all day long. Musk bought it and said that stops, hooked up with Tucker Carlson, and now the left is going to kill him. And so they're assassins, I'm figuratively speaking now, at Media Matters, are stalking everything he does to try to get sponsors to pull out, which they did. And Media Matters is a hate group. It's attacked me for 27 years, almost every day. It is dangerous. It is well-funded by George Soros and these far-left fanatics. I hope that Elon Musk sues their butt off, because I'd love to see in deposition who exactly besides Soros is pumping money into that organization. So obviously, Elon Musk has resources to do this. And we, of course, will follow the story. Lawsuit number two in the United States of litigation is filed by Donald Trump's Truth Social parent company. All right, that is Digital World Acquisition Corporation. All right, so Trump uses Truth Social. So this lawsuit has been filed in Florida against the following media companies: The Guardian, Hollywood Reporter, Miami Herald, Reuters, Rolling Stone, The Hill, Deadline Hollywood, Market Watch, Forbes, The Daily Beast, Salon, The New York Daily News, Newsweek, MSNBC, Mediaite, The Daily Mail, CNBC. So what all of those organizations allegedly did was report the Truth Social lost $73 million this year so far. Okay? Well, the Truth Social people say that's false. Our loss was $31 million. That's a pretty big difference. And none of these organizations checked it out. They just ran with it. And those false reports, again, this is according to Truth Social, damaged the company's ability to raise funds for ongoing pursuits. Again, this has been filed in Florida. Okay? So the lawsuit seeks $1.5 billion in damages from all of those companies. And it is going to be heard by the 12th Judicial Circuit in Sarasota County, Florida. Okay. So the importance of these two lawsuits is that they are aimed directly at the progressive left media, which is in business to hurt non-progressives. They'll go after Democrats. Wait till you see what happens to Joe Manchin if he decides to run on a third-party ticket. The senator from West Virginia. Where do you see? Okay. So we're going to follow both of them. You know, I'm not trying them on TV, but this really caught my attention. All right, President Biden scheduled today. He dealt with fentanyl, not in an effective way. He just chatted about it. That's what he always does, about fentanyl, bad it is, blah, 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 blah. Here's what he said. Go.
Congress also has to step up in this fight. Start by passing my supplemental budget request for national security priorities, including significant resources to help stop the flow of fentanyl into our country, as well as funds to strengthen support services for people struggling with fentanyl impacts.
That is such a distortion. I can't even be, and you know it is. I don't have to convince you of this. So you want significant resources means more money. So Biden, no matter what the problem is, wants more money. All right. Biggest spending president in history by far, on the road to bankrupting. More research. The reason we have so much fentanyl and heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine in the country is the open border. The reason the border is open is because of Joe Biden. It was not open under Donald Trump. Biden opened the border, doesn't enforce immigration law at any level. Well, what do you think's going to happen? No, we need more. Stop. See, this kind of stuff angers me because there are dumb Americans, and they are dumb, who go, that's right, Congress has to give me more resources. I'll say it for the 18th time. All the president of the United States has to do is sign an executive order that says all asylum claims will cease for a year until we get the situation down there under control. Then he trots out another executive order that says fentanyl is a class A dangerous drug, and anyone caught importing or selling the drug at any level must be punished to the full extent of the law. And then when San Francisco says, we're not going to do that, you cut off all money going to local law enforcement in San Francisco. The federal government funds most county law enforcement through block grants, our money. You say, you don't enforce the law, you don't charge these people to the full extent, we're cutting off your block grants. You're not going to get any money. New York City all day long allows fentanyl and heroin dealers to do what they do and does not punish them. No money. Cut it off. Biden could do that. That's not hard. It's an executive order. So this is the biggest phony in the world, Joe Biden. Not only is he ineffective, not only is he damaging this country in every way. I don't know one way that he's not damaging it. We have gross disorder sweeping the country on the streets, particularly in urban areas. This guy sits there and does jack. Oh, no, no, we need more resources. Oh, my God.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth, delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe, download now, The Truth.
All right, now let me give you a good example. So Washington, D.C. is totally out of control as far as crime is concerned. All right, homicides up 30%. This is year to year, 22 to 23. Robbery up 67%. Violent crime up 40%. Motor vehicle theft up 96%. It's insane. Insane. All right. What? The Washington, D.C. is controlled by the federal government, not the locals. What's Biden doing about it? Look out your window. Oh, no. Joe needs more resources, I guess. All right. So he's on his way to Nantucket for Thanksgiving. I will give you a little bit more of that in a moment, why he goes to Nantucket and what that's all about. It's an interesting story. But first, before Mr. Biden left, all right, he gave some remarks. Go.
Now, just to get here, Liberty and Bell had to beat some tough odds, the competition. They had to work hard to show patience and be willing to travel over 1,000 miles. You could say even this harder than getting a a ticket to the Renaissance tour or Rip Pitney's tour. She's down in, it's kind of warm in Brazil right now.
So not only does he not know the name is Britney Spears, he gets her mixed up with Taylor Swift, who's doing a concert tour in South America. So why do you even bother, Mr. President? You don't know anything. Even if they write it down, you don't, Britney Taylor, but don't even bother. You pardon the two turkeys. Okay, you got through it. And then you have to do that. I'm just sitting here. Look, people believe what they want to believe. They're going to vote for who they want to believe. They don't care. They don't care. Just keep that in mind at Thanksgiving when somebody walks into your house who loves Joe Biden. That person doesn't care. He or she wants to love Joe Biden. Let them. Okay? That's my philosophy on this. All right. So I apologize to both Britney Spears and Taylor Swift for the mix up for the president of the United States. So joining us now from New York is John McLaughlin. He's been on the program before. He worked for Donald Trump's campaign in 2020 polling. And I wanted to get your overall assessment in the last 3 weeks. Polling has cratered for President Biden. How do you see it?
Well, first of all, full disclosure, thanks, Bill. I worked for Trump from the 16 campaign through the present. So we publish monthly polls as and Donald Trump, we've had him ahead in the popular vote, and we do likely voters. We don't do people who aren't going to vote. We don't do adults, and we call off real voter lists. We talk to real people. Trump has been ahead of Joe Biden in the popular vote since the minute Joe Biden surrendered Afghanistan. And in our last month's poll, Trump was ahead 48-43. Very similar to all these media polls. They've now caught up with us, and because maybe the media is, you know, realizing that Donald Trump's going to beat Joe Biden, but we're, you know, 11 months out.
All right, but let me just stop you there. So your polling indicates that Trump is a 5-point lead in the popular vote. Is that correct?
Correct.
But if I remember correctly, you were wrong about the 2020 Trump assessment. You had him ahead.
No, and you could see, it's on our website, McLaughlinOnline.com. We had him losing the national popular vote, but we said it was going to be very close because it would be a battleground electoral vote play, just like 2016. We never had him ahead in the national popular vote until this cycle. And by the way, that sample that we built, because we do a sample based on the actual vote turnout from the last presidential election where you had 160 million people come out. And that sample matches the exit polls. The poll that we have Trump up 5, there's 4 points more Biden 2020 voters in there than Trump 2020 voters.
Okay, so I don't think there's any question that Biden is running behind Trump, even with all the massive government intrusion into Trump's legal capacity. He's still ahead. So most people aren't buying that at all. Now, the Democratic Party knows this. As the Wall Street Journal pointed out, 77% of Democrats, registered Democrats, want a challenger to Biden. So presto, Joe Manchin pops up. Do you think he's going to run, and does he have any kind of shot whatsoever?
Well, he's talking about running on the no labels party line. And if he does, they ought to change it to the no shot party line. Because we asked him 2 months ago as on the no labels party candidate, Trump was ahead 40 to Biden's 36, and Manchin got 6% of the vote. Cornel West got 2. Manchin was taking votes 5-4 from Biden. He's a Democrat. He's a liberal Democrat. He just looks moderate because the Democrat Party.
He doesn't look moderate, John. Everybody knows he's the furthest left president who's ever served at this point.
No, I'm talking about Joe.
Yeah, that's gone. That facade that he's a moderate, gone. He's as far left as you could go. So you contend that Manchin has no shot if he raises these millions of dollars and gets in. Why? Why wouldn't he have a shot?
Well, first of all, I'll carry petitions for him because he's going to take mainly from Joe Biden because he's a Democrat. But the other shot is, look at, I mean, Kennedy was getting more votes than him, and Kennedy still was taking more than Manchin. And Manchin, by the way, this weekend, the Harvard-Harris poll had a favorable, unfavorable on Manchin, 29 favorable, 31 unfavorable. That same poll had Donald Trump plus 7, 51-44. Trump's voters are the most intense. They're the most committed. They want to come out again because they look at the country and they say 70% is on the wrong track. Two-thirds of the economy is going the wrong way. We're it's getting worse, not better, two-thirds on the economy. National security, crime, the border, the issues favor the Trump voters. Okay. And Joe Biden's responsible.
So Biden sees the same numbers as you do, not him himself, but his people do.
Right.
Manchin sees the numbers, and I don't know whether that would prevent him from getting in. RFK Jr. polling at what, about 10, 12%? Is that what you think where he is? Okay.
Right.
So, but both RFK Jr. and Biden take from Trump, right? I'm sorry, from Biden. They take from Biden, right?
Right. Manchin and both Manchin, Kennedy, Cornel West, Jill Stein, they all take from Biden. They all make, the more the merrier. Great.
Yeah, for you guys. Absolutely. Yeah. Trump should be out there saying great things about Joe. Come on, Joe, get in the race. That kind of thing. All right. Now, I have predicted and I hold to this prediction that Biden is not going to make it. He's not going to be on the ballot. That the convention in Chicago in the summer, the Democrats are going to go elsewhere. Do you concur?
Not until the mainstream media turns on Joe Biden.
They
with
won't.
This corruption.
They're not going to do it.
He could still be the nominee then, because the filing dates have gone by for New Hampshire. The filing dates for South Carolina Super Tuesday days going by.
Biden, but he's not going to get enough. He's not going to get enough delegates to walk in with it. I don't think Biden, because it's soft. It's really soft.
But you got to beat somebody with an opponent. So you can't. Joe Biden right now, he's crushing Dean Phillips. He's crushing Marion Williamson. Maybe in New Hampshire because he insulted them and took away their primary, and he's going to be a write-in candidate on the ballot. The University of New Hampshire still has him ahead as a write-in. But, you know, there's no delegates with the New Hampshire primary. So the first delegate race is South Carolina, and it's Joe Biden who's the Democrat there. So he's going to have the delegates.
But my contention is that even if he squeaks it through on delegates, the party's going to come to him and say, we're going to lose. All right.
Well, they're saying that.
Let's hand it over. You know, you write a LBJ resignation and we'll hand it over to somebody else. And if the Hunter Biden thing, if there's one more that links him into getting money from his son or brother as vice president, I can't see it. I just can't see it.
But think about it. When you were talking about the most selfish president, the Democrats, they say what they don't like about him is he's too old. The voters who are voting against him say he's a crook and say he's too corrupt. With that amount of corruption, he doesn't want to let go of the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS, all that stuff. He's basically hoping that they can take the House back and kill these investigations. So right now he's all in for reelection to cover up his family's corruption. And when ABC, CNN, NBC, CBS, they start covering the Hunter Biden corruption and the family corruption. And Hunter, I think, is just a bag man for this guy. I mean, I think it was Joe and his brother James and the rest of the family that are finally getting subpoenaed.
Yeah, John. But you got to have something on that. The American people saw what happened to Trump. They don't want to duplicate it in the Biden thing. So these committees have got to come up. If you say Hunter was a bag man, you got to have some link into Joe Biden benefiting, and they may come up with it. They may very well. John, we really appreciate it. You're a good pollster. And if you see anything, please let us know right away, because this is going to be our main story for the next 11 months. So we really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'll keep sending the same poll numbers to you. Hopefully they keep going in our direction. We got 56 days.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. All right, revenge of the ladies in America. So life expectancy for women in the USA is 79 years on the planet. Okay, that's the average expectancy. For men, 73 years. Is that fair? So 6 years down. Now, life expectancy has fallen. It used to be, let's see, for men, it was 76. Now it's 73. Okay? 73, that's coming up pretty fast. So anyway, I never assume that I'm even going to wake up in the morning. Anyway, so women live 6 years longer on average than men. Why? Because men are under more stress than women. Not everybody, but takes a toll. And then there's drug use. There are more male drug addicts than female drug addicts. All right, and on and on and on. There are reasons. One in six Americans have a substance abuse disorder. And this is growing because everything's legal now. Pot's legal. Well, let's have some heroin. Come on, nobody's going to do anything for us. Oregon now wants to repeal, all right, its legalization of hard drugs because criminals are running wild. The kids can't come out of the house and it's somebody with a needle in their neck. So Oregon go, oh, no, no. But there's still a contention there. But this drug use is out of control. And the booze, I'll give you the numbers here. So 30 million Americans have an alcohol use disorder. 30 million, too much booze. 27 million drug use disorder. 8 million have both. Oh, they must be pleasant to be around, huh? All right, so you add it up, it's 65 million people with substance abuse problems. 65 million people. And the younger people, it's 5 million, ages 12 to 17 already. Oh, staggering. And it's going to get worse because it's easy to get all drugs, any time of day. It's cheap. Yeah. Keep that border open, Joe. Really good. Smart Life. Okay, so there are dueling report, CBS Morning News. I listen to it on the radio when I get up. They ran down a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to run it down too. But then there's another group, the American Farm Bureau. It says the cost of Thanksgiving dinner is down about 4.5% from last year. But when I look at the stats, it's not really what it is. Okay, so let's go down the list. Thanksgiving dinner, turkey is down 29% wholesale prices, retail down 16% from last year. So you get your turkey cheaper. I told you I got mine 99 cents a pound. Okay. Ham, way up, record high for ham, right? Up 5.2% from last year, record high. So if you're getting that ham, it's going to be expensive. Cranberries from the can, up 7%. Sweet potatoes up 4%. This is all from last year. Potatoes in general up 14%. Canned green beans up 9%. These are all up. Up, 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 up. Pumpkin pie. Ready for this? Pumpkin pie up 30%. I might go for the apple or the blueberry. 30%. What is plenty of pumpkins? What's going on? Beer and wine. Wine is up 1.2%. Beer up 5.2%, but you may be able to get a deal on Bud Light. Just a little aside. All in all, don't let the cost ruin your Thanksgiving dinner. Shop around. Put a nice spread out there. It's a good day. Don't worry about politics that day. Have fun. All right. Now, this is a really interesting story I'm going to tell you. The two most powerful newspapers in the country, unfortunately, are the New York Times and the Washington Post. Both are really not newspapers anymore. They are left-wing liberal journals. They're in a business to promote liberal policies. Okay. There's a guy named Michael Ramirez, who is a really brilliant cartoonist, political cartoonist. Two Pulitzers, this guy's won. He writes a cartoon, and he is out of Vegas. He's 62 years old. Writes a cartoon about Hamas terrorists. Put that cartoon up. Okay, on a radio, I'll describe it to you. It's a caricature of an Arab man, and it's basically human shields. How dare Israel attack civilians? The cartoon has all kinds of terrorist stuff, kids strapped to his body, all of that. All right, so the Washington Post runs this cartoon. And the editor is David Shipley. He's the editorial page editor. They run it. Inside the Washington Post is all 100% left-wingers, most progressives, okay? They are offended. This is incredible. Here's what they say. The caricatures, the cartoon, employ racial stereotypes that were offensive and disturbing, depicting Arabs with exaggerated features and portraying women in derogatory, stereotypical roles, perpetuates racism and gender bias, which is wholly unacceptable. Every cartoon, political cartoon, has caricatures. Every one. So Ramirez, they pulled it. Washington Post pulled it. Here's what Ramirez said. Go.
In this cartoon, is straightforward. Hamas is a terrorist group. Right. I labeled the person Hamas. We know who he is. He's a guy who went on television and said, not only do I celebrate October 7th attack, but I would do it over and over again until Israel's removed. If you can't criticize that, then what can you?
Okay, exactly. So this is the perfect example of cancel culture woke garbage. And it dominates the Washington Post and the New York Times. It dominates. And those papers, they have what they call a wire service that shoots out stuff to all the little papers in Butte, Montana, or Fairbanks, Alaska, or Key West, Florida. Okay? They subscribe and they get this garbage every day. And Ramirez is a brilliant satirist. That's what political cartoonists are, satirists. He gets it pulled because these nitwits and cowards, this is the corruption of the media. So you know Catherine Herridge? She used to be at Fox. I know her very well. Good reporter. She went to CBS, chief investigative correspondent. She's involved in a lawsuit. So a Chinese American has sued the federal government for slandering and libeling her. Okay. Yanping Chen. She is a scientist and apparently was investigated by the FBI and others while she was at George Washington University. And nothing happened. No federal charges were brought against her. And Catherine Herridge reported on the situation. Now, because of the lawsuit, Ms. Chen and her lawyers want to depose Catherine Herridge to find out where she got the information she reported. And this happened in 2017 while she was at Fox. Okay? Herridge won't give it up. Okay? So now a judge has decided whether to put Herridge in jail. To prison. So very few people are reporting this, but I felt it very interesting. I'm going to follow it. I don't think Catherine's going to go to prison. I don't think so. It's a civil beef. Or if it was a criminal beef, it would be different. But Catherine Herridge is involved with this and will not give up her sources. In Michigan, a judge says Trump can stay on the primary ballot, rejecting the challenge, all of that. You know, I told you, I don't want to be a know-it-all, because I'm not. I'm not a know-it-all. But we have a pretty good baseline of being accurate here at the No Spin News. And you know that. You wouldn't be wasting your time watching me right now. So we said, look, all of this far left challenging Trump on the state ballots is not going to lead anywhere. And so far, Minnesota, Colorado, Now, Michigan judges are just kicking it out because they know it's unconstitutional. 26 attorneys general urging Congress to pass a new law. The law is called the Immigration Enforcement Partnership Act, where states would have the legal authority to deal with illegal aliens. Okay? It would be a new law. Now, here are the states that are behind the law. Okay? Let's see where they are on my sheet. I got them. Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, all conservative run states. No liberal states. Okay? So basically, the lawsuit is federal government refuses to enforce immigration law. That is true. It's true. So the states go, we want the power, but Congress has to give it to us. That will never happen. The Senate, run by Democrats, will never pass this law because they don't want immigration law to be enforced. Okay? But it's symbolic. So I think the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, will introduce this. And then we'll see all the Democrats vote against it. Border Patrol, just in October, took 13 individuals into custody at the southern border that are on the terror watch list, federal terror watch list. 13 just in October. In the entire 2018 to 20 under Trump, okay, 18, 19, 20, 3 years, 12 were taken into custody on a terror watch list. 3 years, 12, 1 month, 13. Way to go, Joe Biden. Good job on the border. New York City, this is an outrageous story. This is so bad. I can't even tell you how bad this is. So three guys are on the subway platform in the Bronx. My sources tell me they're smoking pot. Anyway, they were smoking something. You're not allowed to smoke in the subways. Two New York City police officers approach them, tell them to stop smoking. They say F you to the cops and continue smoking. Cops say, okay, you're gonna have to leave. A brawl breaks out. Three suspects beating on two cops, okay? All right, and they're beating on them. So, backup comes, three are arrested. Kareem McClary, Isaiah Jemisi, and the other one got away. I'm sorry, two were arrested, one got away. All right, two officers suffered minor injuries. So they take the two charged with assault in the second degree and a bunch of other stuff into court. They arraigned them. The DA, Darrell Clark, okay, I'm sorry, Darcell Clark. I can't even read my own writing. Darcell Clark, uber liberal, all right, asked for bail. Says not a lot of bail, but bail on these two guys. Judge Eugene Bowen says, nope, lets him out. No bail. They beat up cops. No bail. So they got to come back December 18th. We will track it to see if they show up. And the cops are looking for the third guy. Now, this is why things are out of control in New York City. Imagine you're a police officer and you're in a brawl and you arrest the guy, they go in, and the guy is out in hours. That's not justice. Who, the judge isn't protecting the public or the police department. Oh boy, just unbelievable what's happened in New York City and New York State. And it's the governor's fault, as we talked about earlier this week. Okay, let's get a little lighter. Oh, that makes me so, I can't tell you how angry that makes me, that thing. Because my grandfather was a police officer. Smart Life, tipping. Now, this is very, got a pen and paper, and you always should listen and watch the No Spin News with pen and paper. We're going to give you the how to tip at Christmas time or Hanukkah, whatever you want to do. All right, regular babysitter. What should you give the babysitter as a gift? One evening's pay. I guess babysitters get about $20 an hour now in that zone. So you give them $100, okay, as a Christmas gift. Two, daycare provider. You send your kids to daycare. What should they get? Probably about $50 for each person in there that will mind your kid. Okay. Third one is housekeeper, cleaner. What should they get? 1 week's pay. But whatever you pay them a week to come in, they that should be their gift. Barber, both beauty salon and regular barber, you give them the cost of one haircut or one treatment, whatever it is, as a Christmas gift. And this is all cash, all right? You're giving them cash. A newspaper delivery person, I tip mine well because I got a lot of newspapers coming in here every morning. I tip them well. It says here about $30. I would give more. That's a hard job. And these people are just trying to get by. All right, doorman, you live in an apartment, doorman. About $100, right? Or a gift. You can buy a doorman a gift, but gifts are always dicey. Some people give bottles of booze or whatever. Cash is probably better. Now, here's the big one. Trash collectors. Ah. So where I live, I depend on these guys because I got a lot of, you know, we're running three corporations out of my residence. And there's a lot of stuff that goes out. That these guys have to take away. So I give them, there's three of them, I give them $100 each, okay? And you know what? Most people don't give me anything. Most people don't give me anything. Got to get up early, got to go out and get a little card, a little money in the card and give me it. But boy, I need, and then those guys are good. You got a gardener, you give them $50. And the final one is the post office guy. Now, it is against United States Postal Service rules to give them cash. Not supposed to cash. I'm not going to encourage anybody to break the law. But sometimes, okay, I depend on my mail people. So we take care of them. Nobody's going to know. All right, here is the final thought of the day. As you know, concierge members can write me directly with their problems or questions or whatever you want, observations. Separate email, private, 100%. I'm getting a lot of mail from parents whose children are in trouble, adult children, not urchins. And it's heartbreaking. So you can have 3-4 kids and most of them turn out great, and one doesn't. It's not your fault. But it's so painful. So say your kid is a drug addict or, you know, a sadist or whatever. Parents suffer tremendously. That's why I tell everybody, you use drugs, you're hurting your family, hurting everybody. So it's not your fault. But I get, What do I do? And I mean, general advice to the concierge members, and I take everyone specifically. I do give specific advice to people whose kids are in trouble. Kindness. No matter how frustrating, no matter how disappointing their conduct is, be as kind as you can be. Do not enable it. Do not give drug addicts or alcoholics money. Do not do it. I walk by beggars, I never give a nickel because I know that nickels going to be purchase narcotics or purchase booze. I'm not enabling that. I'm not. There are enough facilities around here that feed people. All you got to do is show up. Okay? Kindness. And always, we will help you rehab. We'll help you no matter how much this you've done in the past. We're going to wipe the slate clean and help you, but you got to want to do it. So you leave the door open. And down the road, some of them walk through that door, but some of them don't. And it's not your That's the final thought. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow.